Canto 2, Satyavan. All she remembered on this day of fate, the road that hazarded not the solemn depths, but turned away to flee to human homes, the wilderness with its mighty monotone, the morning like a lustrous year above, the passion of the summits lost in heaven, the titan murmur of the endless woods. As if a wicket gate to joy were there, ringed in with voiceless hint and magic sign, upon the margin of an unknown world, reclined the curve of a sun-held recess. Groves with strange flowers like eyes of gazing nymphs peered from their secrecy into open space, boughs whispering to a constancy of light, sheltered a dim and screened felicity, and slowly a supine, inconstant breeze ran like a fleeting sigh of happiness over slumberous grasses pranked with green and gold. Hidden in the forest's bosom of loneliness, amid the leaves the inmate voices called, sweet like desires, enamored and unseen, cry answering to low, insistent cry. Behind slept emerald dumb remotenesses, haunt of a nature passionate, veiled, denied, to all but her own vision lost and wild. Earth in this beautiful refuge, free from cares, murmured to the soul a song of strength and peace. Only one sign was there of a human tread. A single path, shot thin and arrow-like, into this bosom of vast and secret life, pierced its enormous dream of solitude. Here first she met, on the uncertain earth, the one for whom her heart had come so far. As might a soul, on nature's background limbed, stand out for a moment in a house of dream, created by the ardent breath of life, so he appeared against the forest verge, inset twixt green relief and golden ray. As if a weapon of the living light, erect and lofty like a spear of God, his figure led the splendor of the morn. Noble and clear as the broad, peaceful heavens, a tablet of young wisdom was his brow. Freedom's imperious beauty curved his limbs. The joy of life was on his open face. His look was a wide daybreak of the gods. His head was a youthful rishi's touched with light. His body was a lover's and a king's. In the magnificent dawning of his force, built like a moving statue of delight, he illumined the border of the forest page. Out of the ignorant, eager toil of the years, abandoning man's loud drama, he had come, led by the wisdom of an adverse fate, to meet the ancient mother in her grove. In her divine communion he had grown, a foster child of beauty and solitude, heir to the centuries of the lonely wise, a brother of the sunshine and the sky, a wanderer communing with depth and marge, a Veda knower of the unwritten book, perusing the mystic scripture of her forms, he had caught her hierophant significances her sphered immense imaginations learned, taught by sublimities of stream and wood, and voices of the sun and star and flame, and chant of the magic singers on the boughs, and the dumb teaching of four-footed things. Helping with confident steps her slow great hands, he leaned to her influence like a flower to rain, and like the flower and tree, a natural growth, widened with the touches of her shaping hours. The mastery free natures have was his, and their ascent to joy and spacious calm. One with the single spirit inhabiting all, he laid experience at the Godhead's feet. His mind was open to her infinite mind. His acts were rhythmic with her primal force. He had subdued his mortal thought to hers. That day he had turned from his accustomed path. For one who, knowing every moment's load, can move in all or studied or careless steps, had laid the spell of destiny on his feet and drawn him to the forest's flowering verge. At first her glance that took life's million shapes, impartially to people its treasure house, along with sky and flower and hill and star, dwelt rather on the bright harmonious scene. It saw the green gold of the slumberer's sword, the grasses quivering with the slow wind's tread, the branches haunted by the wild bird's call. Awake to nature, vague as yet to life, the eager prisoner from the infinite, the immortal wrestler in its mortal house, its pride, power, passion of a striving god, it saw this image of veiled deity, this thinking master creature of the earth, this last result of the beauty of the stars, but only saw, like fair and common forms, the artist spirit needs not for its work, and puts aside in memory's shadowy rooms. A look, a turn, decides our ill-poised fate. Thus, in the hour that most concerned her all, wandering unworn by the slow surface mind, the heedless scout beneath her tenting lids admired indifferent beauty and cared not to wake her body's spirit to its king. So might she have passed by on chance ignorant roads, missing the call of heaven, losing life's aim, but the god touched in time her conscious soul. Her vision settled, caught, and all was changed. Her mind at first dwelt in ideal dreams, those intimate transmuters of earth's signs that make known things a hint of unseen spheres, and saw in him the genius of the spot, a symbol figure standing mid earth scenes, a king of life outlined in delicate air. Yet this was but a moment's reverie, for suddenly her heart looked out at him, the passionate seeing used thought cannot match, and knew one nearer than its own close strings. All in a moment was surprised and seized, all in inconscient ecstasy lay enwrapped, or under imagination's colored lids held up in a large mirror air of dream, broke forth in flame to recreate the world. and in that flame to new things she was born. A mystic tumult from her depths arose, hailed smitten erect like one who dreamed at ease. Life ran to gaze from every gate of sense. Thoughts indistinct and glad in moon-mist heavens, feelings as when a universe takes birth, swept through the turmoil of her bosom's space, invaded by a swarm of golden gods. Arising to a hymn of wonders, priests, her soul flung wide its doors to this new sun. An alchemy worked, the transmutation came, the mission face had wrought the master spell. In the nameless light of two approaching eyes, a swift and fated turning of her days appeared and stretched to a gleam of unknown worlds. Then, trembling with the mystic shock, her heart moved in her breast and cried out like a bird who hears his mate upon a neighboring bough. Hooves trembling fast, wheels largely stumbling seized. The chariot stood like an arrested wind, and Satyavan looked out from his soul's doors and felt the enchantment of her liquid voice fill his youth's purple ambience and endured the haunting miracle of a perfect face. Mastered by the honey of a strange flower mouth, drawn to soul spaces opening round a brow, he turned to the vision like a sea to the moon, and suffered a dream of beauty and of change, discovered the aureole round a mortal's head, adored a new divinity in things. His self-bound nature foundered as in fire. His life was taken into another's life. The splendid, lonely idols of his brain fell prostrate from their bright sufficiencies, as at the touch of a new infinite, to worship a godhead greater than their own. An unknown imperious force drew him to her. Marveling, he came across the golden sword. Gaze met close gaze and clung in sight's embrace. A visage was there, noble and great and calm, as if encircled by a halo of thought, a span, an arch of meditating light, as though some secret nimbus half was seen. Her inner vision, still remembering, knew a forehead that wore the crown of all her past, two eyes, her constant and eternal stars, comrade and sovereign eyes that claimed her soul, lids known through lives, large frames of love. Comrade and sovereign eyes that claimed her soul, lids known through many lives, large frames of love. He met in her regard his future's gaze, a promise and a presence and a fire, saw an embodiment of aeonic dreams, a mystery of the rapture for which all yearns in this world of brief mortality, made in material shape his very own. This golden figure, given to his grasp, hid in its breast the key of all his aims, a spell to bring the immortal's bliss on earth, to mate with heaven's truth our mortal thought, to lift earth hearts nearer the eternal sun. In these great spirits now incarnate here, love brought down power out of eternity to make of life his new undying base. His passion surged a wave from fathomless deeps. It leapt to earth from far forgotten heights, but kept its nature of infinity. On the dumb bosom of this oblivious globe, although as unknown beings we seem to meet, our lives are not aliens, nor as strangers joined, moved to each other by a causeless force. The soul can recognize its answering soul across dividing time and on life's roads, absorbed, rapt traveler, turning it recovers familiar splendors in an unknown face, and touched by the warning finger of swift love, it thrills again to an immortal joy, wearing a mortal body for delight. There is a power within that knows beyond our knowings. We are greater than our thoughts, and sometimes earth unveils that vision here. To live, to love, are signs of infinite things. Love is a glory from eternity's spheres. Abased, disfigured, mocked by baser mites that steal his name and shape and ecstasy, he is still the Godhead by which all can change. A mystery wakes in our inconscient stuff. A bliss is born that can remake our life. Love dwells in us like an unopened flower, awaiting a rapid moment of the soul, or he roams in his charmed sleep mid thoughts and things. The child God is at play. He seeks himself in many hearts and minds and living forms. He lingers for a sign that he can know, and when it comes, wakes blindly to a voice, a look, a touch, the meaning of a face. His instrument, the dim corporeal mind of celestial insight, now forgetful grown, he seizes on some sign of outward charm to guide him mid the throng of nature's hints, reads heavenly truths into earth's semblances, desires the image for the Godhead's sake, divines the immortalities of form, and takes the body for the sculptured soul. Love's adoration, like a mystic seer, through vision looks at the invisible, in earth's alphabet finds a godlike sense. But the mind only thinks, behold the one for whom my life has waited long unfilled. Behold the sudden sovereign of my days. Heart feels for heart, limb cries for answering limb. All strives to enforce the unity all is. Too far from the divine, love seeks his truth, and life is blind, and the instruments deceive, and powers are there that labor to debase. Still can the vision come, the joy arrive. Rare is the cup, fit for love's nectar wine, as rare the vessel that can hold God's birth. A soul made ready through a thousand years is the living mold of a supreme descent. These knew each other, though in forms thus strange. Although to sight unknown, though life and mind had altered to hold a new significance. These bodies summed the drift of numberless births, and the spirit to the spirit was the same. Amazed by a joy for which they had waited long, the lovers met upon their different paths, travelers across the limitless plains of time, together drawn from fate-led journeyings in the self-closed solitude of their human past to a swift, rapturous dream of future joy in the unexpected present of these eyes. By the revealing greatness of a look, form smitten, the spirit's memory woke in sense. The mist was torn that lay between two lives, her heart unveiled and his to find her turned, attracted as in heaven, star by star. They wondered at each other and rejoiced, and wove affinity in a silent gaze. A moment passed that was eternity's ray, and o'er began the matrix of new time.